Well, hi everyone. I hope everyone's been doing well. We are on a fantastic ride in this whole conversation. And so my name is Carol Burton from Radiance Resources and also your podcast host for Radiance Real Talk. Thank you so much for coming into this episode. And I want to introduce a great friend of mine, Sarah McNally. Sarah, hello. I hope you're well today.
I am well today, Carol. Good morning. And I'm so happy to be back at talking, continuing, like you said, this conversation. My name is Sarah McNally. I am the CEO of the People Brand Company and the founder of Lady Boss Virtual. So here we get to continue where we left off. And I think the next thing that I wanted to bring up was the theme of accountability in all of this. So we had talked about opting in as a white person in this anti-racism conversation. You and I talked about a definition of equity that triggered for me the idea of where a scarcity mindset may come in when thinking about equity, whether that's something we want to admit or not, but that looking at where is our scarcity mindset is a very good exercise and practice within all of this. And ultimately, that's what we're talking about, is having a daily equity practice.
Right.
And so then accountability, I think, is a really big part of this. And accountability, I don't know about you, but I actually really love accountability. But in my work, and this I would imagine you find in your work, when we're working with like leaders and teams, their accountability gets a bad rap. When
It
someone,
does.
you're going to be held accountable for,
Yes.
it gives people like anxiety.
Yes.
When I think of accountability, I think of accountability as something incredibly empowering, because it's saying, if someone says to me, I'm going to hold you accountable, what I hear is, I believe in you enough to know that you can take this on. And so that is the way that I hear that. And for my, so then if I flip it to myself, I'm going to hold myself accountable. It's the same thing. I believe in myself enough to follow through with what I'm committing to.
Yes. And
But
it can be a positive and a negative as far as growth, and you still learn from both experiences, from both perspectives, as far as I'm concerned.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Which, so from that negative perspective, like if we have, broken down in some way, or something has broken down and we're holding ourselves accountable, it's uncomfortable,
Yes.
but it is really a reflection of our character to say, I'm going to own this and I'm going to be accountable and take responsibility. And which I think is the thread through our conversation, is what continues to come up is our level of self-awareness and self-worth.
Right.
And so that's why this work will continue to be triggering in that way, but ultimately it is an enormous opportunity for growth.
It is. And even though, to your point, any time that we look at accountability, it's almost as if there are miniature respites in us taking stock in our behaviors and stopping us just for a moment. Maybe it's a long moment, but just for a moment, to say what are my behaviors? What is my mindset? Why am I so skewed in thinking this way? And what am I missing that I don't even realize I'm missing?
Yes. And that is to be in a place that you can ask those questions of yourself, I believe, is a place where you have come to truly understand that we are the creator of our lives. And so it is, it is moving. And I think we are always doing this. But the more we practice, the more we stay out of a victim mindset. And, you know, I observe a lot that we're in a epidemic, like we're in a pandemic right now, but there's an epidemic of victimhood in the world. And I believe that there is so much possibility in people taking ownership for their lives and from that place of, because I am the creator of my life, and how I create my life is the way that I see the world. And the way that I see the world is how I observe my thoughts, my feelings, and the practices and tools I have to heal my limiting beliefs. So those are all of the ways that we get to self-worth and self-love, which impact the way that we see the world. Which I think, that is what you were saying around,
right,
you know, checking our behaviors, checking our beliefs, because that's what we have control over.
Correct.
So when we can look at that and say, you know what, I get that I created that situation because how I showed up. What's so amazing about that is I have control of how I show up.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what people miss.
Yeah.
That's what I get that. And it's funny that you say all this, because I have discovered a life-changing affirmation. It's, I am the architect of my life. I built its foundation and choose its content. I built its foundation and choose its content.
Yes.
So that choice always resonates.
Yeah.
It's a choice.
Yeah.
I heard a theme way back when, you have choice in the matter. You always have a choice.
Yep. Yep.
You always have a choice.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, and it, for me, it's a choice in how I view life, how I see life. Some people say half empty, half full. Some people say optimistic. Some people say realistic. Some people say negative, da 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 da. But for me, it's if I am the architect of my life and I choose its content, and I chose how to create the foundation, to your point, I can alter that. And some parts we need to say goodbye to in order for us to continue to evolve.
Absolutely. And what a beautiful connection to opting in around choice.
True.
Because that's
good
what
point.
It is.
Good point.
Choosing to opt in. And so this is a conversation that obviously I've shared from my own perspective of, I am opting into this conversation of anti-racism as a white woman because of the foundation that I am building and creating in my life. Like, it is really important for me to contribute. And so the other part of what this brings up that I was thinking about this morning is, when, as we opt in and we make that choice, and we take accountability for making that choice, and, you know, even choosing the content, because we've opted into this conversation of anti-racism, there is all of a sudden a lot of vulnerability. And,
true,
you know, so that's part of self-work, is really getting comfortable with the vulnerability. And what is talked about pretty readily in the anti-racism space when it comes to white people in the book White Fragility is the guilt and shame that comes up. And those two words, I mean, those are really easy words to say, but I just think it's so important to, like, go deeper into that. And that's what I was thinking about at 1 o'clock this morning is, what, you know, what is it? And so I wrote down a couple of notes so that I could go back to sleep. And, you know, the vulnerability for me in this conversation of anti-racism is this feeling of, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. To as you know, as a 46-year-old woman saying, here I am at 46 years of age, and I don't know what to do, what to say, and I am reaching out to engage in conversation for me to learn. And the shame comes in the conversation of once these, you know, layers of awareness open up is, oh my God, how did I not know this? How did I not see this before? And so then the statement can be, what is wrong with me? And that's shame. You know, shame is there is something wrong with me. Guilt is I've done something wrong. And I think that for me is a really, has been a really important part of this, because when I feel, you know, just the deep grief and sadness, that's is this feeling of what is wrong with me? Like, how did I not see this before? How, why is it only just now that I'm seeing some of these things for the first time? And that's a really important part of this journey. I mean, it's just an important part of this journey as a white person to look at that, to experience that feeling and understand it, to be able to move forward from it, because I think you can get stuck in that. Like, and again, it goes back to, if you haven't done any of your work, right, this might be one of the moments that you just get popped right out of the work, because right, you're like, I can't go here. You know, I haven't dealt with layers and layers of shame in my life. So that's something I've been thinking about.
Sure. And I've been hearing of late, as 2020 continues to move forward and into 2021, about how systems and structures, so from a linear perspective of mind, we'll just go there for a hot second, is that it was intended for white people not to recognize.
Mm-hmm.
It was intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And some have also said that down deep, white people knew, chose not to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two camps of response. And as I've learned, somewhere in the middle is the truth, is a truth.
Right.
Somewhere in the middle is a truth. So that, for me, that's the real conversation of that gap.
Yeah.
And so our systems have been set up and they function quite well for these aha moments. Some people would call the curtain being removed that has transpired during the summer, that transpired, I should say, during the summer of 2020. So that lets us know that the system worked very well. The structures worked extraordinarily well.
Absolutely.
That was the whole point. And so, and the, what was shared in history and even in geography from some educators, again, the system worked quite well.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break to share a little bit more about what we do. My name is Carol Burton, and I consider myself an agent of change. I have the honor to collaborate with company leaders and partner with managers to incorporate actionable equity practices daily in the workplace. I help organizations who are committed to the personal growth of their teams, improving company culture, and delivering true ROI for each team, department, and the organization overall. At the core of my work, I am focused on helping leaders adapt, sustain, and engage in their careers and helping organizations move toward a more equitable workplace culture. I believe ethics connects equity and adapting drives change. If you are looking to transform how your organization supports its leaders, engages in tough conversations, and nurtures diverse talent, I'd love to hear from you. You can find me on all social media platforms, including LinkedIn under Carol Burton. I spell my first name as C-A-R-O-L-E. I'm also on Twitter with Carol_Speaks and Facebook and Instagram as Carol Burton Speaks. And also, you can always check out my website, radianceresources.org.
Hi, I'm Sarah McNally. I'm the CEO of the People Brand Company, an organization that aligns employees behind the brand promises that you are making to your customers, because ultimately they are responsible for delivering on those promises. So your people are your brand. You can find more information at thepeoplebrandcompany.com. And also, for those professional women out there, I run a group called Lady Boss Virtual. It's a networking group. We meet every other Friday for an hour to network, connect, and have elevated conversations. You can find more information about that at ladybossvirtual.com. Welcome back. Absolutely.
So, you know, I think that's the other piece of the awareness, as we have continuously seen structures, systems, organizations, ways of being, ways of knowing, literally crumble, because those ways of knowing and being no longer work. The question was, did they really ever work, or was that a perceived as well?
Oh, absolutely.
Did they ever really work, or was it the optics? I don't know. You know, so because we were all fed into it. We all fed into it one way or another.
Yeah.
And now it's shifting into a new space, into a new book, into a new pathway, into a new language. And so I think that's where the grief has really come in, especially with COVID in general. You know, Iyanla Vincent said back in May, you know, in her interviews, when she really started talking a lot more, she said, COVID made us stop and go home.
Mm.
She said, we lived everywhere. We lived at the grocery store. We lived at the bar. We lived at work. We definitely lived at work. I did. I have to admit that. You know, we lived in our cars as far as commuting. We lived in the trains, buses, airplanes, airports. You know, we lived in our houses of worship. We lived, you know, in our retail spaces. We lived everywhere but home.
Yeah.
So then I thought, now that's an interesting thought. So then I thought, well, when the country shut down, what did everybody do? I'm home. Well, I got to clean my house. Okay, let's go clean the house. So everybody physically cleaned their house. I personally did not clean my house.
Oh, you didn't?
No. I am now cleaning my house. When I say cleaning my house, I mean people renovated their homes, right? People, you know, the garbage haulers were like, will y'all please stop, right? It's because there was so much recycling, right? And waste management that was happening, right? You know, those guys were, the environment, like, will y'all please just slow it down, right? So, you know, it was just really interesting. And then, and so we still were running away. We were still running away.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we had to sit down. Life hints slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
And then we only relied on what? Technology. We relied on our smartphones. We relied on YouTube. We relied on social media. We relied on internet. We relied. And then we started to, now I think to your point about this, we're now getting into our personal selves and looking at our luggage. And I think that that really started, to your point, in May.
Yeah.
I really do. And so for me, all of this chaos, all of this noise are symbols or symptoms of us looking inward, of us looking at our mirror.
Yeah.
And some people are running away from it. Some people are showing up with anger and fear. Some people are showing it up with truly avoidance. And so it feels like that really plays in shame and grief.
Yeah.
Then the other thing that a person said to me recently was, I also had to deal with my family.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting as far as dealing with their children, the spouse, the relatives, all of that, all of those symptoms still go back to what? To self-internal work.
Yep.
So I think that that's really been interesting as far as the transition from living out there in the environment to living internally, from the external environment into the internal environment.
Yeah.
I found that because part of the transition of when we go from one chapter in life to another is that we say goodbye to the past. We say goodbye to, and we close a chapter, regardless if it's you separating from your workplace, whatever that looks like, you separating from your spouse, whatever that looks like, you separating from something that you were used to and or comfortable with at one point in your life. And so that to me is another, what you brought to me further is that ways of knowing, that thought process, that language. And for me, that's all being in this accountability space with being vulnerable, with, you know, with looking at shame. I think shame is a positive and a negative, as weird as that sounds. I think it's both. And I think that grieving is the same. When we close chapters, we grieve. We say goodbye to that. And we walk through everything that we learned, didn't learn, and go through that pain and that grief.
Yeah.
And then move from there. So I think that that's part of this too is, and it's everybody's like, oh, it's a weird time. It is and it isn't, because we needed to go through this to get rid of, to walk away, to separate ourselves from what was environmental, the external, into the internal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have said, and you know, everyone's experience is so different, but for me this year, and I just said it to a friend the other night who, you know, it's been a tough year for her. And for me, not that there hasn't been some, you know, crazy changes in my daughter's distance learning. And I, you know, that is challenging, but ultimately, I have enormous gratitude for this year, enormous gratitude for the opportunities to slow down and release what's no longer serving me and all of those things. And yeah. 100%, you know, in my opinion, and I think we're on the same page here, and I think a lot of people would say the same, the world would not have responded to George Floyd's murder in the same way if we weren't in a pandemic and we hadn't slowed down.
Absolutely.
I mean, we could pay attention.
Absolutely.
And things happen in life and in our individual lives and in the, you know, the lives of humanity, because the purpose is to evolve. Like, the ultimate purpose is for us to evolve. And so this year is an enormous year of like major disruptions to help us evolve. You know, that's what might be weird about this year, is it's kind of, you know, it's like full on.
It is.
So again, going back to what I have experienced personally, is when something awakens in me, whether it's like, say it in the past, it was, I knew I needed to get out of a relationship and I got the hit, you know, I got the intuitive hit, this isn't working anymore, or I needed to leave a job, this isn't working anymore. That once you get the hit, once there's the opening, whether it's the opening in your heart or it's the opening like on your path, is, you know, a new piece of the path is lit up. Yep. You can try to ignore it. Like, you can try to ignore it and say, oh, it's going to be so uncomfortable. And, you know, I'm going to be alone, or how am I going to make money? All the things, but life is going to, will get more and more uncomfortable until you lean into that part of the journey.
Yes. Agreed.
Is what is happening for people, and why I'm happy, so happy to be having this conversation with you.
Yes.
Because there are a lot of white people who it opened up a part of them that they can't close off again, but they may not know how to lean into it, or they may want to close it off.
Right.
So the opportunity to opt in and take accountability for that opening is actually going to ease the suffering.
Right.
Much more than trying to look away and saying, I am so empathetic. I am impacted, but I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
There's plenty to do. You get to opt in.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say that, and I don't know where this came from, but I thought about the film from Kevin Costner's Dancing with Wolves.
Oh, I love it.
And so when we think about that storyline, just to give some context, when we think about that storyline, it was an opt-in choice and he made a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
He was afraid half to death out there by himself, right? And look what the world opened up for him and what he had to deal with as he left one world to literally go into another world because of what he found.
Yes.
Within himself. I don't know why that movie of all movies popped in my head, but it just did.
I wish we had the soundtrack that we could play right now.
I know, right? So it's just really, I don't know where that came from, but I think it was to give people an idea of what we're talking about as far as actually seeing a transformation of opting in and committing to the opt-in choice and going through the pain and being vulnerable.
Yeah. It's that vulnerability piece, Carol, because one of the things about vulnerability is the fear of not belonging. And so when you are moving, you know, again, perceptually,
sure,
that I may be moving from one sphere of belonging into another one, and it may be one that you want to move from, like you want to move out of a sphere where you felt belonging, where, you know, it was comfortable. Again, I'm talking about from the white experience, it was comfortable to be here. We all, you know, our virtues were, we are anti-racist, but moving into another space of, I'm actually going to take action, and that there's a lot of ways that can look.
Sure.
That the in between, you know, so going back to Dances with Wolves, where, you know, he was in the U.S. you know, military, and then the in between world is the vulnerability, and that's what can come up.
Right.
Where will it belong?
And, you know, it's funny because people say, well, I'm scared, I have fear. And I always say, where you had fear before, you are now comfortable because you took the first step. And in that movie, he took a step.
Yeah.
And I think that was the significance, believe it or not, of the wolf.
Mm.
Now that I think about it, the wolf helped him create the first step, because the wolf helped him see the scarcity of the wolf of trust.
Yeah.
Because the wolf trusted himself, but he didn't trust Costner.
Right.
That wolf, that male wolf did not trust. So it was just really, it's one of those that I know it's a 3-hour movie, but it's kind of like, I kind of want to go back and see it again.
Me too, through this lens?
Through this lens.
Yeah. Because the other part of it, oh my gosh, this podcast is going to be like 5 hours long. Because the other part of it is like looking at that wolf and the symbolism of something that the two groups could unite around, like, or it was the commonality. It was like an animal in nature. And so that Native American tribe, you know, had affinity for it and saw it in one way.
Yes.
And then Kevin Costner did. And then that was like a common,
bond. It was the bond. Yeah.
And so in this space, I think what is happening is we are this commonality of looking at ourselves as we are human beings.
Right.
How can we allow human beings to be treated this way? Like that's the commonality. And once you have that, like once you're like, you see that wolf in that way, you can't go back and sit in your little hut. Like it is so uncomfortable. It is so, you have to move towards the other space. You have to move towards it.
It's kind of like the frog in the boiling pot story. It's the exact same scenario. How hot does it have to get for you to be uncomfortable?
Exactly.
To move, to make change.
Yeah.
And to me, when we are vulnerable and we make change, the uncomfortable also makes us change for positive. So if we've been sitting on our butts and not doing something that we know we should have done years ago, that we know it will make our lives better, it's the same thing. So it's a it's both, again, it's the positive and the negative that can be used with the language and the terms that we are defining in this conversation today.
Absolutely. Okay.
Interesting.
I came up with a title a couple of years ago. It was either going to be for a podcast or, you know, a series or something. And it was Disruption is the Alchemy to Purpose. So everything in our lives, that all of this discomfort, that's part of the human experience. It's part of the human experience to experience the low, to experience the contrast of life, because it gets us closer to what we want.
Yes.
And so people who are alive I really haven't met anyone who can't look back at a really significant moment and say, I understand the purpose of it. These are the gifts I got from it. You know, we have a common experience where our moms have passed. Yes. And my mom passed, you know, almost 18 years ago. And over the years, people have asked me, do you wish your mom was still alive? And I always think that is one of the hardest questions to answer, because I have learned so much from her death. Who I am, I would not be who I am today if she had not passed away.
Wow.
I have just learned so much. So how do I answer that? Like, how do I answer it? And this is from my own, you know, my spiritual belief system.
Sure.
I am as connected, if not more connected, with my mom since she has passed.
I agree with that.
So there's so many, you know, interesting ways to look at this, but this moment, we are as humanity, we are in a moment of alchemy. You know, and we are melting down. So we're not on the other side of it. We are in the melting down.
Yes.
And it is hot.
Yes.
And it is uncomfortable.
Yes.
But on the other side of this,
yes,
will be something quite magnificent for us, I believe, as humanity. Mm-hmm. And it can be for us individually.
Correct. And that's just it. This is no longer a moment. This is a movement. COVID has become a movement. That's it.
Yeah.
It has caused us to be in a movement of ourselves. That's what I believe.
I love that. A movement of ourselves. I mean, done and done.
And I think that that's a great place to complete this conversation. How about
you? Oh, yeah. I need to go rent Dances with Wolves anyway, so.
I love it. So thank you, Sarah. This is great. Our next conversation we're going to be talking about is about being adaptable, adaptability. And so we hope that you join us for that. Again, my name is Carol Burton from Radiance Resources. I'm on everywhere as far as all social media to come check out what I do. And I hope that you all have the opportunity to take a few more moments and listen to some other podcasts. We're going to be showcasing some other great people like Sarah of different thinkers, as well as, you know, those 15-minute, here's some ideas for you to think of for your professional development. And Sarah, where can they find you?
Yeah, Sarah McNally, CEO of the People Brand Company and founder of Lady Boss Virtual. You can find me at thepeoplebrandcompany.com, ladybossvirtual.com. I'm big on LinkedIn and I'm just starting my Instagram journey.
Wonderful. All right. Everyone have a good one. Thank you. All right. Thanks, Sarah. Bye-bye. Bye.